For David, it was a sobering, shocking dose of reality. The reality of fame. No sooner than Goliath planted his face in the dirt than things began going wrong for David. In fact, he would soon end up hitting rock bottom, huddled in a cold, dark cave. David, the national hero, became the overnight object of Saul, King Saul's jealousy. Saul just couldn't handle it. The shepherd boy becoming the hero. And so Saul sent David to remote areas with just a handful of men, hoping that he would not return home alive. But the plan backfired. David succeeded every time and became even more famous. In fact, up to this point, David just always killed his problems. A bear, a lion, a giant named Goliath. He just killed them. But that didn't work when Saul hurled his spear at David on more than one occasion. The spear missed, but be assured, David got the point. For the first time in his life, David had to run from danger. But he left behind more than just a position in the king's service. He would literally become completely bankrupt. Not just financially, but emotionally and physically and even spiritually. With surgical precision, Saul began to cut away, stripping from David everyone who provided comfort and security of any kind. One by one, David lost the people most precious to him. First of all, he lost his wife, who was Saul's daughter. She was his prize for killing Goliath. But she found it so easy to love David. And they fell in love. But now Saul uses her to get to David. He sent assassins in the night, but she slipped David out the window. And as David ran for his life, he left a loving relationship that would, well, never be the same again. After David lost his wife, he fled to the prophet Samuel. And understand, Samuel was more than just a friend. He was a mentor of David, a pillar of strength for David. Surely David would be safe with the prophet of God. Surely Saul would never threaten Samuel, a prophet of God. But nothing would stop the insanely jealous Saul. And so David again fled, never to lay eyes on Samuel again. When David lost his mentor, he fled the most cherished person in his young life as well, Jonathan, who was actually one of Saul's sons. David and Saul, Jonathan. The first time they met, there was immediately a strong brotherly love. And then they shared the blood and the glory of the battlefield. And later David would write in 2 Samuel 1:26, "I'm distressed for you." He's writing to Jonathan. "I'm distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of a woman." That's an incredibly strong brotherly love. At first, Jonathan couldn't accept that his father would be trying to kill his dearest brother and friend, David. But when Saul learned that Jonathan was hiding David, then he went after Jonathan. In a blind rage, he tried to kill his own son, forcing Jonathan and David to go their separate ways. And the tears flowed. 1 Samuel 20, verse 41. As soon as the lad had gone, David arose from a place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed down 3 times. And they kissed one another, and they wept together, but David more so. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. In the end, Jonathan would not forsake his father. And just try to imagine David's grief. Alone. Shattered, heartbroken. His last security blanket was torn away, and now he felt totally abandoned. Where do you go when every trace of human security is gone? Don't forget this. God can make a mushroom or a toadstool overnight, but an oak tree? It takes decades. And God never puts toadstools on a throne. He wants an oak. He wants a man who is strong and resilient like an oak. David was being grown to become an oak. God was growing a king for the throne. And it was going to take some time. But David's growth could not come without him weathering the storm. Overwhelmed by grief and fear and despair, David would flee again. But this time, he would be in a panic and he would be alone. For several months, David ran amok. In fact, bad choices would remove the rest of what was precious to David. Things like integrity and dignity. They would both be completely discarded. It happened at Nob. That's where David gave away his integrity. It was the first time, by the way, that David forgot to ask God for wisdom, for direction. Remember, David is living with paranoia. He is completely panic-driven. By the way, that's when folks frequently completely forget God. David's thinking food. I've got to have food. A weapon. I've got to have a weapon to protect myself. And then he remembered that at Nob, the priest would have food. But what would David tell him? Well, he would tell him lies. Nothing but lies. 1 Samuel 21, verse 2. So David said to Ahimelech the priest, "The king has ordered me on some business." Lies. "He ordered me on some business and said to me, 'Don't let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you or what I have commanded you.'" Lies. "And I have directed my young men to such and such place." Lies. "Now therefore, what have you on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or whatever can be found." And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women." And then David answered the priest and said to him, "Truly, the women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy. And the bread is in effect common, even though it was consecrated in the vessel this day." Lies. On the king's business? Lies. Men hiding nearby? Lies. Men are holy? Lies. Lies to cover lies. And then more lies to cover more lies. Doeg, one of Saul's spies, happened to see David in that village. And Saul responded upon hearing that David had been there. He responded by slaughtering the entire village. He slaughtered the priest, men, women, children. And it all happened because David's integrity caved in. The cave-ins of life are not easily controlled. Integrity was lost at Nob, and dignity is now going to be lost at Gath. In fact, the fact is, when you give up integrity, it's just a matter of time before you give up your dignity. And so David fled blindly to Gath. You know whose home Gath was? It was the home of Goliath. And you have to think, David, what are you thinking? Look at verse 12 of chapter 21. 1 Samuel 21, verse 12. "Now David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them, pretended madness in their hands, scratched on the doors of the gate, and let saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, 'Look, you see, the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?' The faithful young shepherd boy had vanished. He was now a despicable man in filthy clothes, spit running down through his beard. Dignity vanished in this cave-in. David ran from Saul, from Nob, and then from Gath, literally to a cave. He caved in. Position, people, integrity, dignity, they're all gone. He was trapped. He's at the end of his rope, wondering how he can go on. Adullam became his hiding place. Hundreds of caves and secret places. A place where you can go and be lost and never found. This morning, if you're in your cave, with no place to run and no heart to go on, then you're at the right place. Listen to David. David wrote a cave song, Psalm 142. Listen and learn from David's song in the cave. Psalm 142, 1. "I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path in the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, for there is no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul." Listen to me. He's as low as you can get. I've been there. Most, maybe all of you, have too. Millions upon millions have been there. No one cares for my soul. Everything seems lost. You're fully exposed. There's nowhere to turn. Some folks jump off bridges. Some folks take pills. Some load a gun and pull a trigger. But others crawl into a cave. They crawl into a hole, dragging a liquor bottle or some kind of noisemaker. But notice something about David. He's in the cave. He's in despair. And yet he kept coming back to God. This is how you find the heart to go on. Even on the toughest days, you turn back to God. Notice how he finishes this cave song. Verse 5. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they're stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me. You shall deal bountifully with me. Here's what I want you to take home with you this morning. It's David's exit map from the cave. How did David get out of the cave? First of all, he looked up. David looked up. He recovered his security by reopening his dialogue with God. He looked up. And actually, maybe now David fully understands this was really the only security that he had. Because people will fail you. They had all failed him, but not God. David must have remembered the sheep pastures. When as a young boy, God was his only audience. God was a constant companion. The Lord really was his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God met every need. He had no wants that weren't met. The Lord was really his shepherd, as real as the night sky, and even more awe-inspiring. David finally looked up again. And it was his first step in walking out of the cave. It was time to stop running. And so he wrote, I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge. Is it time to stop running? That's what this passage challenges all of us with. Is it time to stop running? Step one, look up. Look up to Jehovah God. Now, secondly, as he exited the cave, David came clean. He regained his integrity by simply facing the ugly facts of his failures. One day, Abiathar stumbled into David's cave. And David's heart sunk as Abiathar shared with him the details of the slaughter at Nob. This wasn't just another slaughter of innocent men and women and children. David knew he was responsible for what happened. 1 Samuel 22:22. So David said to Abiathar, I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. David remembered every detail. He remembered the panic that filled his heart. He remembered the lies that he told. And he remembered the spy, Doeg, that he saw. And David came clean. This was his sin. David's sin resulted in an entire village being slaughtered. And David genuinely repented, which doesn't happen until you come clean. Until you take responsibility for your own sin, and even more, the consequences of your sin. You want to find spiritual healing in your life, you have to come clean with yourself. As David exited the cave, he came clean. And then thirdly, as he exited the cave, he stood tall. In other words, he recovered his dignity when he resumed God-given leadership. In other words, he began acting like a man of God, and he began acting like a king in the service of God. Listen again to the end of his cave psalm. Bring my soul out of prison. Listen to the purpose. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous will surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. David knew that when he looked up and he came clean and he stood tall, that God would bless him. And so the righteous did surround him. Hundreds of people hungry for David's leadership began showing up at the cave. His family, distressed men, indebted men, even discontented men. I'm talking about people who would follow David's leadership. Overnight, he suddenly had a 600-man army of incredibly talented, able soldiers. He looked up. He came clean. And now it was time for him to stand up. It was time to leave the cave. When you look up to God, when you come clean with your sin, when you start acting like a child of God, standing tall, listen to me, you won't leave the cave alone. No way. The righteous will surround you, brothers and sisters in Christ. But when you vacate the cave, God is ready, and God will be with you as you leave that place of paranoia and hurt and disillusionment and struggle. That's a great message, is it not? If you're not a Christian, this is what you should want. I want to walk out of the cave that I've been living in, and I want to walk out with God. I want to walk out with assurance. I want to walk out with hope that God is going to deal with bountifully with me. He's going to bless me spiritually in every need that I have. What happens when you hear that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? You grieve because you know that your sins put him there. And yet Paul says that that godly sorrow that you feel in your heart, that just leads you to repent, to turn away from the world and turn to Christ, to God. And when you've done that, you're standing ready to stand tall, confessing with your lips and your life that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then you're baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. You're buried with Christ by baptism into death, and then raised to walk in newness of life. And this newness of life means exactly what we're talking here. It's the life of exiting the cave eternally with God, walking in His light, drawing near to Him. knowing the promise is absolute, he will then draw near to you. This morning, if you've been in the cave, allow David to give you that exit map. If you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.